present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a visit to Gateshead in the fine county of Tyne and Wear. Nestling on the south bank of the River Tyne, the people of Gateshead have seven bridges providing access to the suburb of Newcastle. Famous names associated with Tyneside include the Italian revolutionary fighter and nation builder Giuseppe Garibaldi, who lived here in the 1850s. Garibaldi was honoured by his nation in being voted Italian Military Hero of the Year from 1862 to 2011. The renowned 19th century physician Thomas Addison was born here. It was Addison who identified Addison's disease, and so began the trend of physicians giving their names to medical conditions. In retirement, Addison turned to charitable work with the fallen women of Newcastle. He died in 1860 following a short illness, despite specialist treatment from his colleague, Dr. Arthur Clapp. Newcastle's magnificent railway station is served by several operators. East Coast Main Line have services to London and Edinburgh, while TransPennine have male staff dressed in frocks. We are today guests of the Sage, Gateshead. The venue has several spaces, including the Northern Rock Foundation Hall, named after the famous bank, and the Sir Michael Straker Cafe, named after Sir Michael Straker, best known for giving his name to a cafe. Gateshead's Baltic Gallery is host to this year's Turner Prize. Hotly tipped to win the often controversial art competition is an installation consisting of a family takeaway burger meal in a large styrofoam box. You can tell it's good because the fries follow you around the room. But the Baltic isn't alone in ushering people into a room to be bewildered by odd exhibits. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Marcus Brigstock. And our lovely lady scorer who can't wait to handle the team's points. Please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, the first round is all about film titles, which puts Tim Brooke Taylor at an advantage. Tim is no stranger to the movie-making business, as he once had a contract to work at Paramount Studios, although he usually had no more than two lines: who takes milk and who takes sugar. There's nothing says more about a movie than its title, so I'll ask the teams to suggest films that would have been quite different if just one letter had gone missing from the title. Barry, you can start.
Oliver Twit.
Tim.
Goat Busters.
Marcus.
Somebody Up There Licks Me.
Graham.
The Itches of Eastwick.
The Scottish Western High Noo.
The Godfather.
Lice in Wonderland.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
True Git.
Cream. Cream 2. Cream 3. When the creaming had to stop.
One Loo Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Monty Python's The Life of Bran.
Rear Widow.
Monty Python's The Quest for the Holy Grail.
The Greatest Tory Ever Told.
Brave Hat. Annie Ate Your Gun.
They shoe horses, don't they?
E, the extraterrestrial.
Well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Listeners will be interested to learn that Colin has recently been doing film scores. He gave Gone with the Wind 8 out of 10. We'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of Shirley Bassey's Goldfinger to the tune of Babyface.
Goldfinger, he's a man to man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch, such a cold finger, beckons you to enter his web of sin, but don't go in. Goldfinger, he will pour in your ear his lies. He can't disguise what you fear for a golden girl. No man he's kissed her, it's a kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.
So you now, Tim, I'd like you to sing the words of Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus to the tune of Waltzing Matilda.
Her name is Noel, I have a dream about her. She rings my bell, I got a gym class in half an hour. Oh, how she rocks in Keds and tube socks, but she doesn't know who I am. And she doesn't give a damn about me, 'cause I'm just a teenage dirtbag baby. Yeah, I'm just a teenage dirtbag baby. Listen to Iron Maiden baby with me, her boyfriend's a dick.
Your turn, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of Fog on the Tyne to the tune of I Love Paris in the Springtime.
Sitting in a sleazy snack bar, sucking subtly sausage rolls, slipping down slowly, slipping down sideways. Think I'll sign off the door, 'cause the fog on the Tyne is all mine, all mine. The fog on the Tyne's all mine. The fog on the Tyne is all mine, all mine. The fog on the Tyne is all mine.
And finally, Marcus, I'd like you to sing the words of Big Mouth Strikes Again by the Smiths to the tune of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Sweetness, sweetness, I was only joking when I said I'd like to smash every tooth in your head. Yes, I was only joking when I said by rights you should be bludgeoned in your bed. Now I know how Joan of Arc felt. Now I know how Joan of Arc felt as the flames rose to her Roman nose and her Walkman started to melt. Oh, big mouth, la da da. Take my place in the human race.
Marcus there with the very song that got him thrown off X Factor. Now, the next round is all about identifying mysterious symptoms. Barry Cryer was telling us he recently noticed his dog was acting strangely, so Barry took him to be examined. The vet explained he'd have to stop rubbing his backside on the carpet as he was trying to examine the dog. Okay, well, we'll start with you, Tim and Marcus. You're suffering from an unusual medical complaint and have just been called for your appointment with doctors Barry and Graham. You must outline your symptoms to them and then they'll be judged based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. Now, the identity of your complaint is now being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Tim and Marcus think they're Greek. Tim and Marcus think they're Greek.
So off you go, Tim and Marcus.
Hello there.
Good morning.
Good morning, doctors.
Come in and sit down and take your clothes off.
What seems to be the trouble?
Well, to start off, I think we may have lost our marbles.
Mm.
That was a long time ago, and to be honest, we've lost it all now.
Yeah, we have. Could you give us a bob, please?
What exactly have you lost? Everything.
Sorry, both of you are speaking at the same time.
I'm sorry. We're in practice.
Yeah. What exactly have you lost? You mean everything?
Well, pretty much.
Well, most of our plates, haven't we?
There's no improvement. Sometimes you'll work as much as 2 hours a week and nothing seems to improve. And I'm getting fatter.
You look to be well into your 20s. Have you retired?
Oh, yes. Yes. State law. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Twice now. Mm. I think it's time for lunch, isn't it?
Again? It's about 11. Yeah, why not?
It's about 11 o'clock.
Well, I think we can see what's wrong with these people.
Yes.
They're Greek.
Yes.
Very good. Okay, so it's your turn to be patients now, Barry and Graham. The identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry is turning into Ricky Gervais. Barry is turning into Ricky Gervais.
Morning.
Morning, morning.
Sorry, have you been waiting long?
Yeah. Could you just put your clothes back on, please?
I should explain, I'm not the one with the problem, I'm just his friend. It's Barry, who I'm very concerned about.
And lucky to be so, in my opinion.
Yes, he's... something's come over him, he's turning very strange. I mean, he was all right till he left the office, and then something weird happened.
Is he called Barry, this person?
I am not called Barry. Is this some sort of ironic joke you're doing here?
See
I know that, mate.
He thinks he's doing irony all the time.
You're sad. You don't understand irony.
No.
I know irony. I define it.
He lives in a fantasy world. All these famous friends he claims, Johnny Depp and, Keith Chegwin.
That sounds very nasty.
Yeah, and started using words, weird words like pong.
Pong is an old word for a smell.
A lot of people pong find it offensive.
Pong is not an offensive word.
There you go.
I have spoken, therefore it is true.
I wouldn't mind, but he started bullying little bald-headed men.
You don't get irony, do you? I feel sorry for you.
Is that pretty much all the symptoms, or are there any extras?
Oh, no. I could go into them, but life's too short.
He's a smart merchant.
I don't know.
We think we might have got it.
I think you're probably suffering from Ricky Gervais.
Sure, well, the next game is a new one called Word Builders. Oh. In this round, I'll provide the teams with a word. Then the first player must himself come up with a word that starts with the word I gave him, hence building a word. Then each player in turn has to come up with a word that starts with the word I provided, thereby word building. So, Tim, let's play Word Builders. And the starting word for you to build with is word. Off you go.
Word builders.
Okay, Barry, a word beginning with Word, please.
Word builders.
Marcus.
Word builders.
Graham.
Word builders.
Well, that went well. Do join us next time for another edition of Word Builders. Oh, shut up! We delve now into the world of broadcast production. One important component is the signature tune. You only have to hear that jaunty tune at the beginning of Round Britain Quiz to know what's coming up. Apparently, they play the same tune at the end as well. The game is called Spot the Sig, and the team's challenge is to identify the name of a programme simply by hearing its signature tune. OK, so here's the first one.
That was the detonation game.
Very good, and another one.
Fleeced Enders.
Yes. I should have explained there are nearly 20 of these, so you might as well get into it.
Do you want to contact your families at all?
Here's another one.
The Academy's programme. Academies get the money.
Superheads.
In secondary schools.
That's Biker Gove.
All right, let's have another one.
That's got to be Lust a Minute.
All right, how about this one?
Oh, yes, yes. Wales of the Unexpected.
How about this one now, hang on.
I'd like to see this. It must be Step-Turn Gun.
And another one.
Could it possibly be Have I Got Juice for You?
And still they come. Can anyone guess this one?
On a little dish, don't she have the fishy when the good comes in?
I think that's YI50.
All right, what about this one?
Ooh. My back.
Desert Island Slip Discs.
You're clapping because you hope that's the end. Don't worry, nearly halfway through now. All right, how about this one?
That's definitely Randy Pandy. I'd love to see that too.
Okay, here's another one.
Evening all. Can I
interest you in an extended warranty?
It's got to be Dixon's of Dot Green.
Oh, they're having a barbecue at the back, look. Here's another one.
Perfect.
That's the Stalin Buds of May.
And finally,
Trumpton.
Well, the teams are going to write to each other some letters now. Writing in the English language began in Anglo-Saxon times with the scholar Edgar, Bishop of Durham. He wrote the first ever documents in an early form of English using a basic alphabet which had no F's or T's. He couldn't spell for toffee. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Angela Merkel to Silvio Berlusconi. And then Tim and Marcus will come up with a reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panellist alternating one word at a time. So off you go, Barry and Graham.
Dear.
Bunga.
How.
I.
Miss.
You.
And.
Furthermore.
How.
Long. Is.
A.
Peace.
Now.
Look.
Here.
We
have
to
talk
together
about
the
thing
that
we
shared
together.
I
have
realized
that
you
are
one
naughty
bunga.
And
in
the
time
that
we
were
together,
you
were
twice
caught
in
the
underwear
of
a
strange
yet
tasteless,
although
mature,
woman
who
was
trying
at
once
to
relieve
herself
with
caution.
And
furthermore,
you
are
unforgivable,
yet
strangely
attractive.
Therefore,
I
am
signing
off
this
letter
without
a
kiss
or
anything.
So,
goodbye
and
farewell.
Bunga!
Ciao.
Hey.
Gela.
Merkel.
If
you
want
me,
you
only
have
to
take
your
dress
off.
And
then
we
can
get
filthy.
What's a
matter
for
you?
Shut up,
yeah.
Face.
I'm
hoping
that
we
can
solve
this
problem
if
you
send
us
a
load
of
money
and
some
horse
manure.
I hope
that
you
can
come
to
see
me
shortly. Because
I
am
going
to
give
you
one.
Maybe
two.
Possibly
even
three.
Lots
of
love
from
Silvio.
Hey!
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of Pest Controller's Songbook. Coincidentally, Barry and Graham were saying earlier that Broadcasting House is infested with rats. They noticed them as they foraged for food from the dustbins. And perhaps if they had a bit more work, Barry and Graham could afford to eat in the canteen. Okay, teams, your suggestions of song titles likely to appeal to an audience of pest controllers. Marcus, can you start us?
Fleas Release Me.
Barry?
Where did you get that rat?
Tim?
Weevil Woman.
Graham?
From West Side Story, Termite, Termite.
I Can't Let Maggot Go.
See you later, Fumigator.
The sun has got his rat on.
Kiss me, Hornet, Hornet, kiss me.
Wherever I lay my rat, that's home.
I'm picking up infestations.
Message in a blue bottle.
Oh, I do like insecticide the seaside.
Ten blue bottles hanging on the wall.
There was an old woman who swallowed a fly.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
I'm enjoying this.
Why, what are you doing?
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the night owl of time hoots incessantly under the moon of destiny and is fined 50 quid for sounding his horn in a built-up area, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Gateshead, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Marcus Brigstock were being given silly things to do by Jack Dean, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith. And Jack D and the teams will be back at the same time next week. Over on Radio 4 Extra in a few moments, there's comedy with an episode of Round the Horn. Here on Radio 4, the news is next, and then in a couple of minutes, we'll make our evening excursion to Ambridge and the Archers. And tonight, Tony tries to make his point, and Will saves the day. First, though, a word from Tim Harford.
After years of research, we've actually discovered which numbers are the most important in the world. It's not the size of the deficit or the bond yield on German debt. The key figures are the numbers 4 and 30. To find out why, you'll have to listen to our programme this Friday afternoon. So join me, Tim Harford, for the new series of More or Less, on Friday afternoons at the new time of 4:30.